Hello, welcome to the ESVS Podcasts. My name is Laurence Bertrand, and we are recording this podcast live at the 2024 ESVS annual meeting in Krakow. Have you moved to a different country to do your training or to work as a consultant? Or are you thinking of doing it and wondering what the pros and cons of doing that are? Well, this is exactly the topic of today's podcast, Vascular Nomads. And to explore this topic, joining me here today are Carlota Fernandez-Prendes, consultant vascular surgery, originally from Spain, but who is currently working in Uppsala, Sweden, and Vaiva Grabavolskaitė, originally born in Lithuania and now consultant vascular surgeon in Bern, Switzerland. You're all familiar with their voices as they have both been involved, Carlota in the past and Vaiva in the present, in the development of the ESVS podcasts. Carlota, Vaiva, you have both navigated through several countries, not just the ones I have just mentioned, living and working successfully as vascular nomads. Thank you both for agreeing to talk about your experience in this podcast.
Hey, thank you so much.
Hello, thanks for having me. It's nice to be on the other side.
It's fantastic.
Carlota, can you describe what your journey has been so far?
Well, I mean, you sort of touched upon it in the introduction, but yeah, I'm Spanish. I had the privilege of living abroad when I was young, ergo my pretty fluent English. And after my residency, which I did in Spain, so I did university in Barcelona, then I did my residency in Asturias, and then I was pretty convinced that I wanted to explore some other European countries. So I touched Italy a little bit in a rotation. It was amazing to be able to spend 3 months in Milan. And then I did a fellowship in Sweden. And then I went to Germany. And now I am officially back in Sweden. I've now got consultant paperwork for three countries. So I'm a registered consultant in Spain, in Sweden, and in Germany. And it's pretty cool.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you.
How about you, Vaiva? Can you tell us which countries your career has taken you to so far?
I just realized that there's a lot more in common between us because we both made a comeback. So our current position is a comeback after the fellowships. So my journey started. So after med school or during med school, I've been already in Finland and in Spain doing some time and in Brazil as well.
Can I just ask you, where did you go to med school?
So, I mean, my paperwork, let's say it's Lithuanian, but then I did a year in Spain. I did 3 months in Brazil and I did 6 months in Finland during that. And then for some unexplainable reason, I went to Finland with a language which is... I don't know what's the adjective to use, interesting and hard, and not so applicable in any other countries. And then, so I was young and bold, and then I learned the language within a year, got my paperwork and started residency there. But then somehow it was not challenging enough, so then I was in Africa for some months, and then I did 3 months in Switzerland. And then after Switzerland, I came back, finished the residency, and then to Uppsala for 6 months.
And also something we have in common.
Exactly. Yeah. And then after Uppsala, I now came back to Switzerland as a consultant as well. So interesting.
Very interesting. Yeah. I feel like listening to your story, I feel like I need to start planning my next move already.
Yeah, very interesting. Vaiva, I actually also have some similar experience in leaving a European training program and going to Africa for a while, but then coming back and deciding to finish a formal training in Europe. I'd love to talk about that more. Why did you both decide to move abroad? We talked about this just now a bit, but what triggered the need or wish to move far away? Was this your backgrounds or were you looking for something different? What was the real reason for moving?
I think... it's a combination of all of them. I sort of wanted to end up specializing in like aortic surgery. And one of the problems in Spain is that there is a lack of centralization. And now I think they're working towards that. But especially when I finished training, if you wanted to do any of these complex endovascular or even a complex open AAA repair or thoracoabdominal repair, it's very difficult to get the volume that a center like Uppsala or Munich or lots of specialized centers can obtain. So if you're doing 10 procedures a year, it has nothing to do with if you're doing like 50 procedures a year or 100 procedures a year, right? It becomes like your standard of practice. So I think that was one main driver. Another thing that played a significant role was science and research and the initiatives that were being performed. So I think Spain, now I think they're playing kind of catch up. But especially when I left, you know, scientific achievements were not as important as in other countries, I would say. Now I think they're catching up. But if you think about the papers and known authors, other countries kind of come above Spain.
How about you, Vaiva?
Well, so I love my country and I'm really proud Lithuanian, but it's a small country. We are, in many reasons and in many domains, dependent on our neighbors. And I didn't even try to get into residency in Lithuania. I somehow thought that, yeah, like Carlotta, I had my goals. I was maybe not so sure if immediately that I want to do aortic, but I didn't know that, for example, choosing Scandinavia is a little bit of a freedom because you're not limited financially as well. As a resident, you get so much more exposure to everything, what is up to date, what you read in the guidelines, because simply the country can afford that. So for a young generation surgeon working in such countries is just actually a huge privilege, because you can really, you know, you read the ESVS guidelines and you go like, yeah, I'm just going to choose one of those two things just because we can. So I can loudly acknowledge that I'm super grateful because I could do that, and together, yeah, like Carlotta did in Uppsala as well, the same thing. It's just easy. You don't have to think about anything else, just the benefit or the best solution for the patient.
Absolutely.
So it was super, I mean, ethical to work at. Not that any other country is unethical, but it's just such a joy that you make a choice for your patient, actually.
Yeah.
You make a choice for your education, but actually at the end of the day you make a choice as well for your patient, and it's such a big freedom, I think.
So we talked a bit about volume in certain centers and that being a reason to go, and about resources available in certain countries. Vaiva, I'd like to ask, what has your approach been? Did you have a destination in mind when you started this journey? Have you actively sought opportunities, or is it simply a question of knowing when to say yes?
There was no clear plan. Actually, my relatives and my parents, I think I told them that I have a job in Finland when I left. Nothing. I had nothing. I knew a few centers where I worked at. I had contacts, and then within a week I got offers. So that just worked out. But I think the benefit of being in early 20s is also that you are so brave and you just think that everything is possible.
Be brave enough.
Exactly. I mean, I just changed a new place, but I'm now in my 30s and a bit more cautious of where I go and financial and all of the other aspects. But I think it was the right time, and I think I was just super brave. And the other thing, which is sounds a bit odd about me and maybe a bit of a sharing online, but I work super well on expiration dates. So when I have
so do I.
Right?
Is it? Yeah.
You just go 120%, and it's such a liberty because no system, I don't know, any problems at work, which every single hospital has or every single department, nothing bothers you, nothing gets under your skin. You are there, the patients are there, and this is your, and I think that's why it worked so well for me, because I just took a maximum, I gave a maximum, and now I'm scared because I'm there for a longer time, so it's a bit frustrating, isn't it?
So you talked a little bit about the interesting experience of learning Finnish. Carlotta, I know that you have been intensively studying Swedish for your new position in Uppsala. Would you say that language has been the biggest challenge in living this nomadic vascular lifestyle?
No, I don't think it's been the biggest challenge. I think it's definitely a challenge. As I said, I have the benefit, or you know, I got really lucky because I lived abroad as a. I think we all, or you, Laurence, also you lived abroad when we were growing up. So English is kind of a second language for me, and I think that helps with language acquisition. Obviously, having two languages. And I can understand it's a big time investment. But I don't know. you know, you think about people that are going to the United States and even people that have completed the residency and they're willing to go through the whole residency program again. And that's a much larger time investment than just saying, okay, I'm going to take on a language. And I think it's cool, you know. I think it adds something. It's like, okay, we're vascular surgeons, but it's not just about vascular surgery. I mean, everything that you add to yourself is
self-growth.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's how
another
that's
aspect
how I,
of self-growth other than the career opportunities.
That's how I took it, yeah.
So what about you, Viva? How big of a problem do you think language barriers are in moving between European countries and keeping standards of clinical care for patients? Because you do need to communicate with patients in a language.
Yeah, and before you answer that question, could you just tell us how many languages you speak fluently?
Okay, this is somehow super weird because it feels like a show-off moment and I don't want to sound it like that, so I don't know how to spin it. So we'll start with Lauren's question. Maybe the other one will fade away.
Nope.
No, I think I would look at, and I think that Carlotta described it well, I wouldn't look at it as a problem, but it's a challenge. But it was for me a very, I don't know, it was some sort of competition with myself. I really want to do it. So with Finnish, I mean, Lithuanian is a really tiny country. The language is actually super hard. And Lithuanians, I think, are talented enough. I mean, talented in a sense, forced talented to learn more languages because we are so tiny. So I think that for people to speak two languages is nothing. And I think that most people speak three or more. So that's number one. And then I moved around and I was very happy to learn new languages. Even in Brazil, I was picking up on because I really wanted to be in a culture. I think it's some sort of, if you stay in one place more than maybe 3 months, I think it's some sort of, for me, it's sort of showing respect that you are not
absolutely
only,
agree.
Right?
Yeah, I
totally
agree with
that. Then not only that you can communicate or you can more or less communicate, I think it's really nice to be part. And then you really start belonging to it and then you start living it. So, I think it was just the joy. Now I have to strengthen my German. And
But don't forget about, you know, the question of how many languages you speak.
Okay, so it's Lithuanian is my mother tongue. It's English. I'm quite good with Russian. Then I have Finnish, Spanish. And, and German is on the way. And the only language I always wanted to learn since I was a girl is French. So I have to learn that one before I'm 40. That's my mentality in my head somehow. I'm frustrated because of that.
Yeah, I need to take that up as well, yeah.
So I once read that the monolingual of the present are like the illiterate of the past.
Wow.
And the two of you, having had such successful paths inside Europe in vascular surgery, living vascular nomad lives, are living proof that it does pay off. It does open opportunities to learn languages, and you can go to those places with more numbers, with more resources, if you make the effort to learn a language.
Absolutely. I think if you're like considering that, I mean, you have to kind of be up to the challenge of learning a new language. Yeah.
And I think for the sense of fairness, I think that, I don't know what are your experiences, but once you start showing an effort at learning the language, even at work and stuff, people get so cheerful about that. In a sense that maybe first they look, you are a foreigner, and they maybe kind of start checking out who you are, how it is. But once you start showing the effort to belong, it's also a little bit of a shift. I always feel like people are...
Yeah, they're really grateful, yep. And I feel like they're very supportive. Absolutely, yep. I agree with you. 100%.
So that actually leads into my next question. Viva and Carlotta, both of you, have you ever felt any kind of prejudice or rejection, xenophobia, for being foreigners? Any isolation, difficulty in making friends and finding a social network? And is this net usually made up of expats, or have you experienced locals opening up and integrating you?
I think that's different for every place I've been. So I think there are communities that are much more open and there are communities that are much closer. Absolutely. It's not always been easy. I have felt prejudice against me, especially if you don't speak the language. I think things shift dramatically in that regard once you pick up some fluency, because then you can kind of defend yourself in their language. And it's not always easy to do that. I think we're also both women, And I've experienced that very differently in the different countries that I've worked at, absolutely. So yeah, it hasn't been a journey of roses. It's been tough, and some places have been tougher than others, absolutely.
I mean, I can just add up on that. A lot of tears have been shared, but you don't... I mean, and I think it's important to say that people look up to successful stories, and they think sometimes that they look at you and, oh, you've been to all of those countries, you've been so lucky. Actually, not that lucky, pure work.
I don't think it has anything to do with luck.
Exactly. Yeah. It's really a pure work, and some people... I mean, I don't even think it depends on country, as you told. I don't think it's related to that. It's just some people are kind and some are not, and you always meet both. So I think it's a choice to either respond with kindness or not. But I at least hope, or I consciously always try to learn from that, to be very kind when foreigners or somebody new is around. Yeah, and lead by example. I think that's the only fight against bad things I've experienced, I think, along the way.
Thank you for opening up about that. I'm sure it wasn't easy to talk about. When we talk about making it work and putting work into it, and Carlotta, you mentioned this, you've got qualifications in three European countries. Let's talk about the qualification. That must require some work. Viva, has it been difficult to achieve recognition of your foreign degrees in different countries?
So within Europe, it's actually fairly easy. I mean, you submit the papers, you submit the language test, and basically that's about it. In any European country, isn't it your experience?
I think so, yeah. I mean, I think the most challenging part is just the language requirements.
Exactly. It's once you do that in European countries, is that. But non-European Union country like Switzerland was a bit more work. And another thing to always consider and to know, it's expensive to do that everywhere. And it's a little bit funny for me, or bizarre, that within Europe, we kind of recognize, within European Union, we recognize our diploma. However, on the top of language and stuff, you pay thousands of euros to actually get it. So it is a bit unfair, but it is, yeah, it is how it is.
So Carlotta, how important was the FEBS exam in making you mobile?
Honestly, I don't think it was very important. It was important to me. So, you know, in Spain, there was no official examination after the residency. So I, you know, at some point decided I really want to do it. And it's very nice to have it as part of, you know, your CV or your title. But it hasn't, at least in the countries that I've worked in, and I know that some countries do ask for it. I think the Netherlands,
Switzerland.
And Switzerland, Viva, yeah. What about you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you need the FEBS?
So I did it just to have, I call it a driving license of a vascular surgeon.
Yeah, I like
I think
that.
I think it's a good term. It's in Europe, you technically don't need it, but once you have it, it's a little bit of a, okay, so you have went through something, because it is something.
Did you need it for Switzerland?
Switzerland is obligatory. So two countries in Europe which have an obligation. So it's the Netherlands and Switzerland. And I know that in Belgium is not obligatory, but everybody takes it because it's highly recommended, and they are always on the path to make it.
Yes,
but it's are. But it's not there. So yeah, it's the driving license.
I like that.
Viva, any... other than language and administration, what unexpected obstacles did you face in switching systems? Was there something that popped out?
Now I feel like I'm a little bit trashing my challenges in Switzerland, but moving to Switzerland was my biggest paperwork kind of situation.
I will jump in and say the differences in the healthcare system. So for me, Germany was definitely... I mean, you know, I jumped into Germany completely. I was like, oh, you know, also quite naive. I thought Germany is fantastic. I want to learn German. German is a fantastic language to know. Let's go to Germany. And that's kind of the research that I had done. Obviously, there's all these big like aortic centers. So it was based on something. But I hadn't really done my research in investigating how things worked. And I think Spain and Sweden are both... have a very strong national health system, whereas Germany follows a different model, a FIFA reimbursement model. So adapting to that was a challenge.
In Switzerland as well, yeah, they have this different... But I would touch upon maybe, personal challenges. I am an extrovert, so technically it's quite easy to form relationships and to, you know, the challenges of that. But some countries are more challenging than the other, and also you have to adapt into... some cultural differences. So I think you have to be brave, but also careful enough not to maybe come too strong to coming to some different cultures. So I think that moving around also taught me, and I alterated a little bit weirdly between the Latin cultures, then go back to the North, and it's a big change.
So I think
that was one of the things. And I have a dog. That was also a challenge because I needed to take care of her paperwork and also her well-being of who's going to take care of her when I'm on call. So that was that.
Now, enough about the obstacles and the challenges. Let's talk about the upside. Carlotta, while moving abroad is culturally enriching, has the professional development been equally so?
Absolutely. I am really happy that I kind of had the courage to, like, you know, jump. And yeah, I mean, I think I've had fantastic opportunities that I would have never had I stayed in Spain or in the center that I did my training. First of all, you meet a lot of people, right? So networking, you know, if you start traveling and, you know, doing research fellowships or doing clinical fellowship, it just opens the doors because you meet people. And then if I have the feeling that if you're kind of motivated and willing and are like enthusiastic about this, doors will just open up. I feel like I've had loads of opportunities, and I'm really, really grateful for that.
That's lovely to hear. On the question of professional development, how about you, Vaiva? Has each step been up, or do you think that it is inevitable to take a hit, so to speak, each time you move system?
No, I can only echo Carlotta. I do not regret any move. Actually, there has been ups and downs, but at the end of the day, I don't think I would be a person I am as well if not the experiences. I think it shaped me as well a lot as an adult, because between your 20s and 30s or early 30s, you are becoming an adult. You shape your values, your goals, or finally you have your goals and your values in one line, whereas in your 20s I think you go without thinking. So I'm really happy, and at this point I would just say that there has been an army of great mentors and great colleagues, amazing nurses, and it's also friendships, which we didn't mention here. It's long-lasting friendships, which are, you can't put a price on that.
Absolutely. And I just want to kind of reinforce what you said, that it's not always like up, you know, in a linear way. You know, sometimes it's a bit up, sometimes it's a bit down, sometimes it plateaus a bit. I think you have to just like learn from everything, because even if things are not always fantastic, it's also how you learn and how you discover what you want and what you like and how you want to practice your profession and who you admire and who maybe you don't admire so much. So I think it's all part of the learning process and defining, you know, helping you to define how you are and how you want to be.
And also, as you said, you adapt the good things, but also you see maybe what you don't want to be. And that's amazing, because when you see the real examples in front of you and then you try to put the puzzles together, you don't only, not only, you know, pick up on the techniques you learn, that I want this from there, this from that, but you actually also learn how to be a future, you know, you are a consultant now. We will have, and we are having now, younger people. And it's really enriching, I think, to do that. And we can also, you know, refer them, or you keep good connections and you say, go there, do that. It's really nice.
So we talked about friendships as well as the professional upsides, and values and goals. Carlotta, in the midst of this career move, you've also recently become a mother. Congratulations.
Thank you.
How has this been for you?
I mean, it's been really lovely. I think it's a challenge to be a woman and a vascular surgeon and want a, you know, be a kind of like career oriented kind of surgeon. You know, also it's the whole complex aortic repair, which is mainly endovascular nowadays. So I mean, it's, you know, I've had to put a bit of a pause on that for some time. It's been lovely. Obviously a challenge. You're a mother yourself. It's something more to, you know, put into the equation. And I think, you know, getting and figuring out what kind of life balance you want is something that we all need to decide. And but I'm really happy. I'm really happy to be back at work. I feel very motivated with, I feel like I have a fantastic balance at the moment.
Wonderful. to both of you. Is it inevitable to feel homesick, or does this feeling eventually disappear?
I mean, what is your home? Do you feel like Lithuania is your home?
I was about to say, I feel like, I don't know at which point, but I realize that it's people who make me homey. It's not the place. But I do have an expression sometimes. When I land to Lithuania, I ride towards my granny, and I'm always feeling, oh, I breathe so easy. So it is a confusing feeling. I feel like I don't belong anywhere, to be honest, like a one place
kind of
situation.
Or you belong everywhere.
Exactly. It's a little bit of a combination, because I fell in love with so many people around, so I really feel like I left a part of myself all around.
I couldn't have put it better. I don't feel like there is a place that's my home. Also because in Spain I'm kind of geographically distributed in different areas. So now we'll see. I mean, I think having children might change that. So I'm at the process, and I think you probably are, of trying to set down roots somewhere.
Yeah, that actually comes to my last question for both of you. What is next? Are you finished with the nomadic lifestyle? Is this something for your 20s and early 30s? Or are you already eyeing or even preparing for that next opportunity 5 years down the line?
You know, we've just both arrived, right? I've been in Sweden now for 3 months, started the position at the beginning of September. So I've just bought a flat. I'm kind of looking into trying to settle down, at least for the moment. Then who knows what the future will hold. You know, it's a question that I ask myself. The longest place I have ever lived anywhere is 10 years, Barcelona.
You're ready for your next home?
Maybe, yeah. I definitely feel ready for it. How I will feel in 5 years or in 7 years, I don't know.
We'll do another podcast.
Yeah. What about you, Viva?
So I don't have a family yet. It's much easier to move around. My ideal setup for my life, and I see it for a longer perspective, would be if I would have a chance to be every year for some time outside of my normal working place. I think that's the way I function very well. And on the top of that, I did some sort of volunteering work in a few countries, and that would be my dream, to be able to have a setup of work and a position where I could do the European fancy everything, and then I can have, ideally with my family, a time off for a few months where I can do something where I see a lot of meaning at. So I think
that's beautiful.
Well, I hope that will work out.
So have you informed your bosses about this?
No, I'm still warming them up with my with my great performance, and then eventually,
yeah.
I will slip the paper with my new contract.
So I do want to say thank you. That brings us to the end of this podcast, and you know, as you've just said, this, you both have opened up intimate information that's going to be shared with our ESVS podcast listeners, and I just want to thank you for making the time and also for being so open and honest in this conversation. I think that it matters for future people to come to have some representation and see what ways are possible ahead. So I just want to say thank you again, and thank you for making the time in your agendas here in Krakow to sit with me for a few minutes in our podcast corner. I'm sure this really interesting discussion will help our colleagues in a similar situation. Enjoy the rest of the meeting, which is packed with science and attractive activities.
Thank you so much for this lovely invitation. It's been an absolute pleasure to sit down with the both of you. Very, very cool.
Yeah, I feel like almost again inspired to do something new and crazy.
Me too.
And I think I can say for both of us that if there's somebody who's a bit struggling or unsure and needs maybe one of the countries of interest as the ones where we have been, we are more than happy, I think,
absolutely,
to share anything. So find us in our socials,
yeah,
and be brave. And
both of you are very active in the ESVS committees, so people will be able to find you.
I think we're also very approachable looking.
We're always smiling
and we're always happy to take any questions.
So don't be afraid, just come over and have a chat. Thank you, Lauren.
Thank you, guys.